Well, it's good to be back. I'll just say Rick said hello to everyone here. We had a good time last Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday we spent with Rick's before we headed to Miami Sunday afternoon. So, yeah, I want to say this. That man has grown in the Lord. I'm pretty excited to see what God's done. I long that people could take a taste of taking the time to get away from what's normal, what they think is normal, and try something like that there and see who you really are in Christ, because you will be tested and you will be tried in ways that you never imagined. Yeah. Yeah, it would be good for everyone to try something like that for 1 year, to just get away from what we consider normal. Yeah, because what is normal? What do they say? It's a setting on a washing machine. Yeah, because if you grew up in a house that had dirt floors and you swept them out, you would consider that normal. But if you grew up in a house that was wealthy, like many of us have, you would consider that normal and everybody else crazy. See, we judge things on what we see and not by the Spirit of God. We judge things by what we see with our eyes instead of with our hearts. And we really do. We do that big time. And today's message I was assigned or given is the topic tonight. Today is the whole thing of do not conform or nonconformity. And one of the things I'm going to say right up front is this. A lot of times we look at the outward appearance and then we think that them people did not conform. Or these people are conformed to what my standard would be, or what I think is righteousness. And folks, today, it's not about your righteousness or my righteousness or the church's righteousness or anybody else's righteousness. It is about Jesus Christ and His righteousness. You know, we spend so much time, we got church conflicts all the time, and when we work in situations, we get into places where we work in leadership teams. And one of the things I find out very, very quickly is that the reason there's church conflict is because everybody wants to prove their righteousness instead of God's righteousness. We're more passionate about my righteousness, and it causes conflict everywhere we go. Everywhere you go, you will have conflict, because it's not about your righteousness. It's about His righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He made it very clear that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And therefore, we have to be very careful. Now, as we think about do not conform, He says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. If all you hear in a lifetime is do not do this, do not do that, do not do this, do not do that, what do you think you are going to do? What do you think you're going to do? Exactly what you put your focus on, that you're telling yourself to not to do. If all you tell your children is, do not do this, do not do that, do not do this, guess what they are going to do? All they're focusing on is exactly what you told them not to do. But if you start filling them with some life and tell them what to do and why you do what you do and start filling them with truth about life and start explaining things to them about the positive side of things and start explaining to them why you need to do this, because this is what will happen, or here's what's going to go on. And you start filling them with words of life. Guess what their focus is on? Yeah, life. Walk by a park bench sometime, and there's a sign on a bench that says, wet paint. What are you going to do? It says, do not sit. Wet paint. Do not touch. Or I should say, it says, do not touch. Wet paint. What are you going to do? Oh, yeah, it is wet. Yeah. Your kids do the same thing. You do the same thing. If all you hear is do not, guess what you're going to do? You want to see if it's true. You need to find out. You need to find out if that's true. I'm glad today that our passage does not stop with do not. It goes on to say, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It tells you what to do, a positive. It gives you a positive. Paul didn't stop with just a negative. He went on to a positive. I want you to understand that Jesus' ministry here on this earth was and still is, I have come to bring life. And he is not here to condemn. Jesus does not condemn, period. And for the record, he died for your sins and my sins 2014 years ago. Write it down. It's on your calendar. It's on your newspaper. 2014 years ago. He died for your sins. He's not going to die again. Do you know, there's more people concerned about the issues in their life. Well, what if I do this wrong? What if I don't do that right? What if I do... Jesus isn't going to die again for your sins, okay? Just know that. He tells us that very clearly in Romans and different places. He says that. In fact, I can make a pretty bold statement that says he's not as concerned about your sins today as he is about your relationship with him. Because 2014 years ago, he took care of that already. Will you trust him and will you believe him instead of the systems out here? Will you trust him? Or are you going to trust your own righteousness to the point where you try so hard to be good enough for Jesus? Listen, he represents you to himself as glorious. You do not present yourself glorious to him. He did that for you. He did that for you. When we need to start to get that into the core of our understanding of who we are in Christ. We must understand that. Outside of that, we're flaunting on all kinds of theologies and all kinds of ideas and all kinds of things. And, oh, this is wrong. And we miss the whole relationship of who this Jesus Christ really is. He is not going to die again. Too many of us are spending our life crucifying Jesus again and again and again, trying to be good enough. And we keep crucifying him again and again and again in our minds and in our hearts, trying to be good enough. And all he wants to do is stop and say, will you believe me? Will you believe who I am? Will you believe that I am who I say I am? That was all free. Going into the passage, into the whole thing this morning is, do not conform, be transformed. Okay? What does it mean? What does it all mean? Do not conform, but be transformed. Let's look at the passage, Romans 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not, how are you going to do that, by the way? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Set apart, believing in this Jesus Christ, who paid the price for everything so you can stand before God, holy. Yeah, because you can't do it. You will not do that on your own at all. You can't do it. Not without Christ. Because without him, you are nothing. Absolutely unworthy of standing before God. But as you have Christ, he's urging you, brothers and sisters, these are people that have Jesus Christ as their Savior, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is lining up with agreements with Jesus Christ of who he says he is. This is your true and proper worship. So many times we're trying to figure out, okay, what does that all mean? How do I look right, act right, smell right, think right, so I can be a lined up, holy and pleasing to God? You're not going to do it. But Jesus already did it for you. He already did. Will you agree with him and allow that to line you up to be holy and pleasing to God? This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world that keeps flaunting around and not knowing who they are, not having a clue that Satan is the ruler of the world. They don't have a clue. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Will you focus on this Jesus Christ? The one who paid it all. The one who allows you to stand holy before God. Then, he says, then, and only then, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Outside of that, you cannot, absolutely cannot, test and approve what God's will is. You have to understand the conforming to the pattern of the world and what that looks like and what that is, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we are focusing on Christ and his righteousness, not the world and my righteousness. Many times we think that we are being transformed when we keep eating the same meat, but we change the gravy. Yeah, change the gravy. And we think we're being transformed. It means this. Many times we think we are being transformed when we keep eating the same meat, or which is the world, but change the gravy, which is laws of Christian living. Well, I'll just think and feel like the world in here, and I'll just go along with the whole system, but I'm going to sing praises to Jesus, and I'm going to read my Bible every 10 minutes every day, and I'm going to do certain... We're just changing the gravy. Nothing changed in here. See? We're still eating the same meat. If we didn't have a direct understanding that we are leaving the kingdoms of this world and entering into a kingdom not seen with human eyes and not built with human hands, nothing changed. Nothing changed. We just changed the gravy. We believe like the world and only change appearances. That is called a hypocrite. Believe like the world, but change our appearances. Somebody rips you off of money or does something in business against you or does something that's here, and in your heart, the only thing you can think is to get even. What do you think's wrong? Do you think you're just going to transform the way you think? Or do you think there needs to be some repentance where the heart changes because we're believing like the world? Oh, we might look like a Mennonite, but you know what? If we are acting like the world, we are a hypocrite. Literally. Absolutely. Because the heart didn't change. We can have everything right. We can even say all the right words to people and be really nice and have all the right things to say. And yet go out Monday morning and, well, I'm going to get even with somebody. Yeah, believe like the world, but only change appearances is a hypocrite. Let's look at this. Let's break it down. What is the patterns of this world? There we go. Let's look at patterns first. Do we understand that the world system has a blueprint whose designer, the system designer, or he didn't actually design it, he corrupted it, is Satan. He holds the blueprint, and the destruction is in the end of it. The model or patterns is a model or a prototype, molds and samples that we tend to follow of this world system. It's patterns of this world. Think about the patterns of this world. One of the things that the world patterns after is trying to find happiness and holiness and separation and love. And I got a whole thing about this later on, but outside of the will of God. That's the pattern of the world. Trying to do all this stuff outside of the will of God. Outside of God's order. Outside of God's plans. That's what the world does. That's what the patterns of the world are. To try and find these things, eliminating God. That's exactly what it all started back in the garden when Adam and Eve. When Eve said, when she recognized that this fruit, okay, it no longer mattered now what God said about it. She recognized that this fruit was good, pleasing to the eye. And I can't think, I don't have all the words for it, but she saw this. It was good for gaining knowledge, all this stuff. But it was outside of God because God had said, don't do it. And ever since that, the blueprint for the world system is the same thing, and it is headed for destruction. It is destined to destroy. Self-destructing is exactly what it is. It is a self-destructing pattern. World. Now we understand world has three different meanings and you know, you hear the word that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Then it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. And then another place it says, love not the world or anything in the world. So we understand there is three parts to world. It is people, and then planet, and then systems. Systems of operation. And this whole idea, be not conformed, but be transformed. He's saying, be not conformed to the patterns or the systems of the world. Do not conform to the systems. If we conform to the systems, we can change anything we want on the outside, and we have a filthy heart. filthy heart, because our heart is lining up with the systems of this world. World system is an organization or structure or scheme, a coordination, method, or arrangement. But I like to think of the structure or the organization or the scheme of things as things are played out. World system. We understand that back in the garden, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, he refused, Satan told him if he would bow down and worship him, all these kingdoms could be his. And he refused them then, and he refuses them today, because he said, I am not of this, my kingdom is not of this world. Not at all. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. As a Christian, we live here, but we are belong to a kingdom out there. Out there. It's a spiritual kingdom. And we can no longer keep agreeing with the systems of this world and how they operate. The systems of the world operate an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's how they operate. And they operate trying to find satisfaction outside of the will of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that look like? Transformed. What does it mean to be transformed? Changed or altered. So that inside, listen, our Anabaptist forefathers, when they died on a cross that they were tied to and burned on a stake, or they were bound up to a stick with a millstone and thrown into a river to drown, they did that joyfully, literally. They were singing. There was times they were singing so loud of the joy of Jesus Christ inside of them that they would actually pull their tongues out, so they would stop ministering to the people around them, because the people that were crucifying them or burning them couldn't figure it out. It's because they understood the changed heart in here, transformed in here. They understood spirit life and the joy that goes with it. You can burn me if you want, but you know what? You will never take the Jesus away from me. Yeah. We need to live like that. We need to live like that. That's the transformed life. You can do whatever you want to me, but you will never take the joy of the Lord out of my heart. Never. Jesus made a promise to that. He said, neither height, nor depth, nor width, nor breadth can separate you from the love of God. Do we believe that with our entire heart? Are we transformed enough to understand that that is very, very true? That is not just a little cute cliche in the Bible. That is very, very true. If we believe it. But if we falter around and can't figure it out, and we try and prove ourselves by our own righteousness, we try and do all these things, we're never sure, and we're never certain. We're always flaunting, can't figure it out, don't know for sure. Well, I'm not sure. Well, you know what? If I die today, I'm not sure. See, let me think here. I'm not sure if I'll go to heaven. I keep struggling and flaunting around. Where does that come from? That don't come from God. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't come to condemn. What did Jesus say the Holy Spirit will do when it comes? Anybody? What did he tell us, the disciples? That when the Holy Spirit comes, he will do what? Comfort. Comfort. Yes. Be so secure in who you are in Christ that you are comforted. No matter what people say about you, no matter what happens, that you are comforted because of him. Not because of your righteousness, but because of him. Because of who he is. That's transformed and altered in the inside. They can destroy your body, but they can never take that away. Never. Renewing. Okay, by the renewing of your mind. Renewing. Renovating. If you go to renovate something or you restore something, you completely redo it. Completely redo the way we think. Yeah. He's saying, renew. Renew your mind. Renew the way you think about things. Renew the way you think about this Jesus. Renew what you're thinking about who he is. And about your own righteousness is as filthy rags. But his is glorious. His righteousness is perfect. His righteousness is royal. Then it says about our mind. Okay, renewing of your mind. What is the mind? It is the psyche or the mentality. Body, soul, spirit. It is the soul part. Psyche, mentality, intellect. The way we think. Sometimes we do studies and we do things and we think through things, and all we see it is from the world system perspective, because we're missing the whole Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God that reigns within us. Okay, world system is this: happiness, business, sensuality, wisdom, religion, love, healing, relationships, wealth. You can put marriages in there, sexuality. You can put all kinds of things in there. World system is all these things apart from God. That's what world system is. It's all these things apart from God, separated from God. We're trying to find all them things apart from God. That's why we have so many discussions even about divorce and remarriage, homosexuality, all these things are going on. And we can't figure it out, and we make agreements with it. It's the world system. They're trying to find happiness apart from God. God said that is for marriage alone. So therefore, homosexuality, out. God said one man, one woman, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. And we're going to agree with that, or are we going to agree with the world system? They're trying to find satisfaction and happiness outside of God's plan, outside of God, apart from God completely. Most people that are in them kind of predicaments and are trying to struggle to find life, and they walk into a relationship that is not normal or not godly, are really looking for God. They're just looking to the wrong God. They're looking to the world system that is dominated by Satan. Yeah. They're really looking for God. They really want to find God, but they're looking at the wrong God. They're missing it because they're looking at the God of this world instead of the God of that kingdom. That's what they're doing. They're really looking for God. They're just looking at the wrong God, at the God of the world. The armor of God, Ephesians 6:10-17 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." So we stop making agreements with them. So we stop making agreements with the world system. Take a stand against the devil's schemes. Understand what they are. Understand how it's playing out in a spirit world. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against these powers. Okay? Our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against rulers. Understand this. It's against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. And he's not talking about the kingdom of heaven. Heavenly realm is talking about the air that the spirits roam around in between us and heaven. Okay? That's the heavenly realm he's talking about. It's where the spirits roam around. When they're in Job, when Satan came to God in the meeting of the angels there, and God says to him, he says, "Where have you been?" Oh, he said, "I've been roaming around to and fro. Another place he says that he roams around seeking whom he may devour, and all this stuff. Listen, that's what he's talking about in the heavenly realms. That's the arena that he's talking about out there in the spirit world. These are the very things that we fight against. And many times we look at people and we try and tear that down. Yeah. Because we're looking at self-righteousness. Many times we're looking at self-righteousness. And we're trying to be righteous in our own selves. So therefore, if somebody else is, we're trying to tear that down. And we try and tear that down and that and that and that and that and that. Because it's all built out of self-righteousness. And our war is against spirits. Yeah. Spiritual forces of evil. It's a spiritual force that's going on around us. Do we understand that we are fighting against rulers and authorities, and they actually have authority, and they rule over? Jesus even called the prince of the power of the air. He called Satan that. He is the prince of the power of the air. That's what we're fighting against. And you know what? You will not stand against it without Jesus Christ. You can't do it. Won't happen. Won't happen until we have a transformed view of who this Jesus really is. Then and only then can we stand against all these things. Oh, verse 13. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes," it's not saying if, the day of evil comes. He's saying when the day of evil comes. Has the day of evil come? Anyone? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth. Who is that? The belt of truth. What would that be? Who says they are the truth? They are the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus. The belt of truth. The belt of truth is Christ Himself. Jesus. Buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. That's not your righteousness. That's His righteousness. In place. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That's not your peace. That's His peace. Yeah, that's His peace that He brings to you because you agree with Him 100%. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. That's not faith in yourself. That's His faith. That's your faith in Him. With which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All the flaming arrows of the evil one can be extinguished because we line up with Christ. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him or conforming to Him in His death. And so somehow attaining or understanding the resurrection from the dead. The rising again from the dead, dying to self, rising again anew with the Spirit of Christ living within me. Yes, becoming like Him in His death, dying to self and rising anew. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we keep doing the same thing over and over and expect something new to happen, what is this? And the dude said it this morning. Insanity. Insanity. We keep trying to put everything in a box and get everything to look right and act right and think right and be right. And it's been proven for probably 2014 years. That don't work. No. It's because of Him. It's not because of my righteousness and I get everything right. It's because of Him and His righteousness. And He's got everything right. He's got it right. Be not conformed to what? World systems. World systems. I want you to think about this, and I want you to look at this very closely, because this is so serious to understand what is going on in our world around us, even in the world of Christianity. We have two forces, okay? World dominated by Satan, kingdom of heaven, where God is the sitting on the great white throne, Revelation 4, sitting on the great white throne. And we have them two supernatural powers. What we focus on enters our mind. What we focus on enters our mind. And ultimately, our mind will affect our heart or our soul, mind, will, and emotions, our heart. It will affect what we feel inside and what we agree with. What we allow in through our mind is going to affect our heart. Okay? Now, our heart will then tell our mind what truth is. Huh. Yeah. Or to think about what we believe truth is. Yeah, your heart will then convince your mind of a truth. So if you're agreeing with world systems, right here, it goes in your mind, it goes to your heart, and your heart tells your mind, that's true. That's why you can talk to someone that is so far off from God, they don't even want to think about it, and they believe they're so right in the whole realm of abortions and all everything out there that goes on that goes is contrary to the Word of God. And they will believe they're so right because it is so embedded in their heart. It's no longer that they're not thinking straight. They got this into their mind, it went to their heart, and their heart controls what their mind believes. Your heart controls what your mind chooses to believe. Yeah. Because of what you're agreeing with first. It goes to your heart, and your heart controls then what your mind believes. Now, it is relatively easy to change this right here, what goes in here. It's relatively easy to do this. But this is not something that you can do. You cannot change your heart. Only God can change your heart. Period. Only God can do that. And it is called repentance. It's a beautiful gift. You cannot change your heart. Only God can. You can change what you choose to put in here. And then we repent of all the agreements we made in here with world systems. And now we choose to focus on the truth of the kingdom, and it comes into our heart, and our heart will then tell us what to believe. Oftentimes we think, well, and some of you have seen that clip I like to show a lot about counseling, and it says, just stop it! As fun as that is to say, that is not reality at all. Because the problem is right here. If we have agreed with this, and it's gone in here, and it has affected our heart, which it will, and now our heart is telling our mind what to think, you can change the mind and what you focus on, but this must be repented of. It has to be repented of. That's not a curse. That is a gift to repent of the junk that's in there that does not belong there. It's simple. It really is simple, but we must understand it because we got people walking around. Well, I always go back to the same thing. Adam and Eve, when they took of that fruit, suppose they would have told God, well, we just won't do that no more. We just won't do that no more. And with our minds, we're going to stay focused on you now. From here on out, we're going to focus on you. Would have that worked? It don't work today either. Because the heart and the spiritual concepts that we have allowed into our lives must be renounced and kicked out. They have got to go. Because that's what's telling their mind what to believe is truth, is what we have allowed into our heart. The mind is relatively easy to change, but the heart, only God can change. Repent from the world lies that lodge in the heart that affect your mind, and then believe in this Jesus Christ. And allow His righteousness to reign in your life. That is huge in understanding this. Do not conform, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the heart must be repented of in order for that to happen. You cannot keep on just thinking, well, I'll just change my mind about that. Oh yeah? There is spirit forces that we are fighting against that we too many times do not recognize. And they are very, very pleased that we don't recognize them. The demonic is very pleased that we don't recognize it. Listen, 1 John 2:15-17 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Now, let's go the other way. If anybody loves the Father, guess what? The love of the world is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all them three things right there are what the world is trying to find apart from God. They're trying to fulfill life in the world system apart from God. That's what them three all mean. You look at any one of them, break it down to everything you want to try and break it down to, and it comes down to trying to find happiness apart from God. Because it comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Here's the idea. Even in baptism, we must understand that it is about being not conformed to the kingdom of this world. We are all born into this world. We are born sinners. We are part of the kingdom. We are part of the system. We are dominated by the enemy. Literally. But there comes a time when we must make a choice. Are we going to continue to be a part of the kingdom of this world? Or are we going to say through baptism that I'm dying to the kingdom of this world and all the things that go on there, dying with Christ and being conformed to the kingdom of heaven? That's what it means. That's what baptism is all about. That's what we are stating. And guess who we're stating that to? Not to the church. Listen. This is stating that to the spirit world. We are no longer making agreements here. We are now making agreements here. And I will guarantee you when that happens, everything will break loose to try and destroy you out here in the body. But when that life is inside here, it don't matter who tries to destroy your body or what tries to destroy who, what you think and believe. Because when Christ is in here, yeah, life, and life more abundantly. Life. Be conformed to this right here. Matthew 3. John dressed in a camel hair habit. This is out of the Message. Habit tied at the waist by a leather strap. He lived on a diet of locusts and wild field honey. People poured out of Jerusalem, Judea, and the Jordanian countryside to hear and see him in action. There at the Jordan River, those who came to confess their sins were baptized into a changed life. Right here. Into a changed life. Now, when John realized that a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees were showing up for a baptismal experience because it was becoming the popular thing to do, he exploded. He said, brood of vipers or brood of snakes, what do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snake skins is going to make any difference? Because he knew they had no heart change. There was no transformation inside. It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think you can pull rank by claiming Abraham, and I put Men of Simons in there as father. I am passionate about our Anabaptist heritage, but listen, we cannot claim that as our father. Being a descendant of Abraham is neither here nor there. Descendants of Abraham are a dime a dozen. What counts is your life. Is it green and blossoming? Because if it's dead wood, it goes on the fire. Yeah. Guess what? You can't make your life green and blossoming, but Jesus can. That spirit life will make it green and blossoming. Yeah. Yeah, it can bring a joy that passes all understanding. It brings a peace that you've never known before, because all of a sudden you can know that you can know that you can know that you have eternity with a risen Lord and Redeemer. Yeah. You can know that. You can know that. Every day. Every day. Even when you don't feel like you're a Christian. Even when you don't feel like, well, boy, I chewed that person out and I probably shouldn't have. Yeah, he wants to know, will you agree with his righteousness and let him clean you up? By the way, let me just throw this out there. Today, write it down. Jesus is more concerned about cleaning your life up than what you are. Yeah. Yeah, he is more passionate about cleaning your life up than what you are. Yeah, because he loves you that much. Because you didn't die on a cross for him. He died on a cross for you. Yeah, he is more passionate about cleaning your life up and making your life righteous and holy before a holy God than what you are. When we get a hold of that, it changes everything we know about this Jesus. It changes everything we know about Jesus. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a what? Kingdom life. Yeah. The real action comes next. The main character in this story, which is Jesus, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand. But the main character in this story will ignite the kingdom life within you. He's the one that ignites the life within you. Yeah, and a fire within you, and the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house. Making a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false that's in your life, he'll put out with the trash to be burned. But he will place everything true in its proper place before God. Because he did not come to condemn you. He came to bring life to you. And he is our mediator. He stands between our unrighteousness and he makes us righteous before God. That we can come boldly to the throne of grace, boldly to God, and we can sit there and worship before God anytime we want because of him, not because of you, because of him, because of Jesus. Be not conformed. Be transformed. Be not conformed to world systems about getting even and getting wars and all these things that are going on. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. He says, be transformed. Yeah, sometimes that's what it takes to be transformed. But be transformed to this then, risen anew. Sometimes it takes a dying to self. That can be pretty painful. Sometimes there's pride that helps get in our lives, and where we're so proud of who I am and how right I can look and how righteous I can be. And you know what? That stuff needs to go. Yeah. Needs to go. Needs to go. So that we can rise again, brand new, with Jesus Christ like this, shining in the light of His glory. Yeah. Be not conformed. And by the way, we can look at all the ideas, well, you shouldn't have a sword. Well, you probably shouldn't have a rifle and all these things because these things are evil. No, be not conformed. They already have it here in their hearts to do what they're doing. They already have it in their hearts. So you can tell them, well, stop doing that. That don't change nothing because their hearts already have it in them. Hatred, kill, murder. All these things are an issue of the heart. Not about the mind. It's an issue of the heart. They've already agreed with it in their mind. It went to their heart, and their heart's telling their mind, they're right. Heart tells the mind, they're right. They're doing the right thing. Let me say something. If you're deceived, would you know it? See? They could even be deceived. They wouldn't even know it. They wouldn't even have a clue. They are deceived. They wouldn't even know it. This is the Jesus of eternity. The Christ, the anointed life of God, inside that one human being, and they are battering it to pieces. How many times do we do that? Batter that thing to pieces. Because we are going to be so right. But be transformed in the likeness of Christ. Be transformed. That even though men rail against you and come against you and do all kinds of things, that you will still be able to stand there and say, Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they are doing. They have no clue. They have no clue of how I see the spirit life inside. All they see is what they've chosen to agree with in their own hearts. So be not conformed to this way of thinking. Right here in our hearts already became an issue. The only way they would change it, they could say, okay, I will never beat a Christian again. I will never beat. But in their hearts, they have murder that needs to be repented of. They have hatred that needs to be repented of and renounced in the name of Jesus. But be transformed in the likeness of Christ. Here's a quick diagram. Sinner goes to the cross, through the cross, gets through the law. The law points to our sins. Sinner goes to the cross. Through that, he overcomes the law. Born again Christian. Grace is for the born-again Christian, by the way. It is not for the sinner. It is for the born-again Christian that sins. Yeah. Yeah, the one that has Jesus in his heart and got duped up by the enemy. Yeah, grace is for them. That's what grace is for. Be not conformed to some sort of law and think that by that you will finally be good enough. Will not happen. The rich young ruler already proved that to us when Jesus told him all the things that happened. I won't go through that whole thing again. But it be transformed in the likeness of Christ, where we are willing to come to the foot of the cross and repent of heart issues, of whatever's going on. Be able to repent there. Be not conformed. One of the things I think of with be not conformed to this whole idea of body, soul, and spirit, our flesh on the outside is going to get buried in a box and will return to dust. Okay? But too many times we take our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and we chain it to our body. So anything that happens out here, we allow our mind, will, and emotions to function according to what we feel in the flesh. Yeah. What we feel out here. And that's exactly where Satan attacks us, is from the flesh to our soul. From the outside in. But Jesus is on the inside and wants to go to the outside like this. He wants His spirit. He wants us to be so in love with Him that this thing continues to grow and that it's chained together with our soul so that our spirit convinces our soul, mind, will, and emotions what to believe and what to think. That's why the heart is something you cannot change. Only this can. Only Jesus can. And it convinces us what to believe, what to think, and how to work out of in here, right here. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. There's no gray area. Not at all. Because the world isn't something you actually live out out here that you can actually see. It is a heart condition. It is a heart condition that he's talking about. The world that he's talking about is a heart condition. It is in the spirit and in the things that are going on out here that we don't see. Because you can act right, you can talk right, you can look right, you can do all these things right, and still be a friend of the world. Because it's a heart condition. Here's one of the things I think of very quickly is this whole idea of entertainment, sports, business, and you could go on and on and on and on. But I just want to touch on these real quickly because these are very prominent in our day and age. These things here attach us to the world very, very quickly. They have a system that is destined to fail. Let's look at sports just real quick. If you are playing on a team, what is your goal? To win. Who already won for you? Who already won for you? Jesus. He already won. Already. Okay? We will beat down the other team to whatever it takes to win. Is that Christian? I'll get off that now. Now listen. I like sports, don't get me wrong. But it has to be in proper perspective. But this is what we're agreeing with in our hearts. And we cannot figure it out because it's a spiritual concept. It's not about whether, oh, is it wrong to play football or baseball? No, I'm not saying that. It is a spirit that is driving it, that we are agreeing with, that makes it right or wrong. That makes it kingdom of world or kingdom of heaven. It's a spirit that we're agreeing with. Entertainment, business all work the same way. Listen. If we do business and we have a world heart, a heart that is in tune with the world system, well, if we cheat someone out a little bit, oh, well, you know, I mean, whatever. I mean, just, you know, just do whatever. It don't matter. And we have business ethics. People come to me all the time and say, well, would you do that job for less if I pay you cash? I said, what's the difference? Well, you wouldn't have to turn it into taxes. I said, really? Who said that? Where'd that come from? Whose idea is that? That don't come from God. That's world system. Entertainment. Do you know entertainment? The media, music, movies, and all these things are the only free passage that Satan has into a person's mind to get to their heart without you asking them to. Just by watching a movie and listening to music that is ungodly is an open door for spirits to enter into your heart to convince your mind what truth is. Yeah. Free passage. Completely free passage. You don't even have to open the door for them. All you have to do is be there. Very real. Be not conformed. Matthew 10 says it this way. If you don't go all the way with me, through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. How did Jesus lead? When you think of conquering the world through business, sports, entertainment, whatever it may be, how did Jesus lead? He gave his life for everyone else. Yeah. Yeah, he did. He gave his life for everyone else. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Jesus is saying, you are not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. My way to finding yourself. Your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want for, but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? Right back to the same thing. What are we agreeing with? Is it world system or is it God? Kingdom of heaven. We'll affect our heart and we'll tell our heart what truth is. And we can sit there and argue all day long about things that the heart is telling us is truth. until we start figuring out, wait a minute, is that world or is that God? The mind is relatively easy to change, but the heart, only God can change, and it is called repentance of heart. Not just repentance to say, oh, I'm sorry, I just did that. No, it's a change of heart. It's a change of ownership of kingdoms. It's a change of agreeing with the world system to agreeing with the kingdom of heaven. That's what repentance is. It's not turning from sin. It's stopping agreeing with the world system and agreeing with that system, and sin gets taken care of. Yeah. Remember, in the Old Testament, they built an altar before the calf instead of before God. In other words, they set the golden calf between themselves, their ideas, their beliefs, their desires, their responsibilities, their devotion, their minds, and God. They set a golden calf, an idol, between them and a God of holiness. That's what they did. Because they said they wanted something that they could see. And then if people would see them worshiping this, they would start to understand who God is. Don't we say that with a lot of things we do? Well, if people would see how I do this, then they would start to understand Jesus. Really? What if people would see how devoted you are to Christ first? See, they were trying to get through the calf and be not conformed to this idea to get to here. And we do this. We put this stuff in between. We put religion, business, sports, money, vehicles, family. And we think that if we get good enough or right in any one of these here that really belong to the system out here, and we're agreeing with this stuff out here, then people are going to see Jesus. That is not coming from the kingdom of heaven. Because God is a jealous God. And anything that becomes between Him and you does not belong there. No carved gods of any size, shape, or form, or anything, whatever, whether of things that fly or walk or swim. Don't bow down to them and don't serve them. Because I am God, your God. I am a most jealous God, punishing the children for any sins their parents pass on to them, to the third, and yes, even to the fourth generation. That's why you can act right, think you got it all right out here, but if you never repented of something in here, it is being passed on to your next generations. They will have the strive to do the very same things that you did if it was never repented of between you and God in here. Transformed from the inside out. Fourth generation of those who hate me, which means have put me second. That hate is not an actual, we know the English word hate. It means that have put me second. They have put other things first, put me second. But he says, I am unswervingly loyal to the thousands who love me and keep my commandments. Be not conformed to the world way of thinking, but be transformed like this. That we have Christ, and everything is about Jesus. And if Christ points us to everything else, do it with your whole heart, but with Jesus first. Don't think you're going to get good at something and then show Jesus to the world. That is false philosophy. Or whatever you want to call it. Jesus never comes second. Never, ever comes second. He is first, or not at all. First, or not at all. How do I know if I am conformed to the world? How do I know? How do we know? How do I know if I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind? Here's three things I came up with. What do I easily worry about? Is it things of this world or is it kingdom of heaven? What do I easily worry about? Think about it. If Clemson loses a game, does it ruin your whole week? What do I easily worry about? What's first in the things I think about? What do I easily get angry about? Is it false plays? What if Clemson gets called on something that they didn't, that you didn't think they did? Do you get angry at the ref? Is that world system or kingdom of heaven? Huh. You know, in all them things, there's a winner and a loser. But in kingdom, they're all winners. Yeah. Yeah. In kingdom of heaven, they're all winners. There is no losers there. None. What do I easily give my money to? Is it easier to spend a bunch of money to go? Because our hearts are consumed with something of this world. What do I easily give my money to? Is it to pursue the gospel? Is it to pursue what I want? Is it to, think about it. This is just for you to ask yourself. How do you know if you are being transformed or if you're conformed to the world or you're being transformed? These three things can soon start to tell you where your focus is. Yeah, where your focus is. Kingdoms of this world, economics, or kingdom of heaven, economics. Do you know how many times I hear people say that once I get this part of my life sorted out and I get through this era of my life, then I'll be a missionary. Or then I'll tell people about Jesus. Do you know how unscriptural that is? Jesus wants to be first, and he wants to clean your life up, not you. You won't clean your life up to be good enough for Jesus. He wants to clean your life up. He is more passionate about your life being cleaned up than what you are. And when we can come to rest with that, we start to understand a Father that actually loves us. Yeah. That we can actually, in our minds, envision ourselves sitting on his throne with him on his lap. Not on his throne, on his lap. Because he loves us. He's not up there waiting to pound us down. All he's asking is, can I be first? Can I be first? Because if I'm not first, then I'm not at all. If I'm not first, I'm not at all. He's a jealous God. If he can't be first, he won't be at all. Today I wonder if we would be willing to make an agreement that in the spirit and in the things we take in our mind and penetrates our heart and our heart tells our mind what to believe, that we would agree with God being first and Jesus Christ being your righteousness. Because your righteousness before God is foolishness. But Jesus' righteousness before God is holy. That's why he sent him to die for you. Today I wonder if we could understand not conforming to world systems of thinking that somehow I will be good enough. Somehow, once I get these things all done in my life, and I get through, maybe once I get through high school, then I'm going to tell people about Jesus. Do you know what? If you can't tell people about Jesus today, you're not going to then, or then, or then. Until you make a choice that, you know what, it's today. It's not after I get through this era of my life or this era of my life or once I get this guy. Once I get my house all paid for, then I'm going to go on the mission work. Once I get my business built up to where it starts producing by itself, then I'm going to go be a missionary because that can support me. Let me tell you, those of you who are here at the conference that we put on the other week, my brother Dale has a wild testimony of that. He had these visions of getting a business so established that he would be able to go all over the world and that business would support him the whole time. And God yanked it right out from under him. Yeah. Guess what he's doing today? He's traveling. Just like God had instilled within his heart to do. Except he don't have a business backing him. He has God. Yeah. When he was all done with that, he was $800,000 in debt. It so took him. And the things of this world can be taken just like that. Your ideas of doing things your way can be taken just like that. But God's way, never shaken. Never shaken. In that kingdom, them things are never shaken at all. Never. they will stand forever and ever and ever. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for life again today. And I pray a blessing on each one here this morning. Father, my prayer this morning is that we would start to understand not conforming to the ideas and the systems of the world, but that we would start understanding your system, your kingdom, kingdom economics, understanding what brings you glory, laying up treasures in heaven instead of on this earth, being everything we can be for you, completely for you first. And then if you want us to go to the uttermost parts of the world, you will send us in no short way. It's not through our will that you'll do that. It's because of what you want to do. And Father, today I just pray that each one of us would surrender to that concept that you're in charge and that you will do things your way, not my way. Father, we release ourselves to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.